devices as we listen to Kathy's prelude and prepare for worship. That was beautiful, Kathy. Well, good morning and welcome to First Christian Church on this Palm Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week. We're so glad you are here. Palm Sunday and Holy Week became especially vivid to me the summer I was 20 years old and a student at Black Hills Teachers College, is what it was called then, in Spearfish, South Dakota. Spearfish was the home of the Black Hills Passion Play. And it was, for those who don't know, there was an outdoor amphitheater there, and the play was performed several nights during each week during the summer. The college provided interesting things for students to do during the summer, and one of those was that we got to attend the Passion Play. And I live probably 100 miles from there all my life, but I'd never been to the Passion Play, and it was a very moving experience. Then few nights later, we were asked to be part of the crowd scene or the mob scene in the play. And I remember donning the real simple costumes that we wore and going out and shouting hosannas as Jesus rode by on a donkey. And then I remember just a little bit later going out and shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." It was so real and it felt so wrong. Well, anyway, be sure that you sign the friendship pad when it is passed to you, and we welcome all our guests and visitors. Please, if you are a guest, leave your contact information so that we might be able to get in touch with you. Before we go through the announcements in the bulletin, I want to be sure to remind you that today is the last opportunity to buy Easter lilies in memory of someone or in honor of someone for our Easter services next Sunday. Let's take a look at the announcements printed in the bulletin. Holy Week will be very full and very meaningful, and we encourage you to participate as much as possible. This week, our Lenten service will be the Monday-Thursday service on March 29th, which will be held at 7:30 in the inner room. Saturday, our 12-hour prayer vigil will be in the sanctuary from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. There is a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board, and we really want to fill the 12-hour period with prayer, so please participate in that if you can. Also, Monday through Friday, there will be a noon Holy Week service each day at the First United Methodist Church. The services will begin at 10:05. Also available will be a cafeteria-style lunch at 11:30 each day. I've not attended those. I've always wanted to, and I understand they're very, very nice. Our choir will be singing at the Good Friday service there. Now, of special interest to the younger members, there will be an Easter egg hunt on Saturday, March 31st at 11 o'clock. And it will be outside on the grass if it's nice, and in the fellowship hall if it isn't. I was going to just check and see if we have any other. Also, no, I had not mentioned these. There will be chapel next Sunday, and there will be a Sun, spelled S-O-N, Rise service with First United Methodist, which will be held about sunrise at 6:30 at the Three Crowns Golf Course. Reverend McBride will be bringing the message along with Mary Schmidt, serving from First United Methodist. There will be a potluck brunch next Sunday from 9 to 9:45 in the Fellowship Hall. You're asked to bring a brunch dish you would like to share with the group. Any fruit, bread, pastry, or protein dish is welcome. There will be no Sunday school on Easter Sunday. There will be a baptism, and the handbell choir will be playing during the 10:10 worship service. Now, after we stand and greet each other, we will sing, "Lift Up Your Heads, Almighty Gates." It's in your hymnal on page 129, verses 1, 2, and 4. Please join me in the call to worship. Let the little children sing. Let the foolish and the wise, the rich and the poor cry together. Let eager youth and snow-crowned aged shout out loud.
Hallelujah! Hosanna! Blessed be the Lord!
Please join me in prayer. Our Lord, we come to you at the beginning of Holy Week. The youth, the young adults, the middle-aged, the snow-crowned aged. We come with joys and griefs, with worries, with thanksgiving. We come because you know, we know you hear us, you care about us, and you will comfort us and be with us in celebration and in sorrow. We pray the prayer you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Be seated. Our hymn of praise today is number 190, Tell Me the Stories of Jesus. We'll sing the first and last verses. I invite the children to come forward for a time of sharing and bring your palm branches with you. Good morning. You all can come up and have a seat on the steps with me today. Hi, Reese. We're glad you're coming up and bringing Mom, too. This morning is Palm Sunday. Palm, like the palm of your hand, and also like palm branches. We all have a palm branch to wave. How high can you wave your palm branch? Can you wave it really high? You know, a lot of times in church, we try to be on good behavior. We try to have nice manners. We sit quietly. We listen to the people who are leading the service. It's a sign of respect and a way that we honor God because we calm our hearts so we can listen to God in our hearts. But on Palm Sunday, for just a minute, we get to be loud. Part of Palm Sunday is about being loud. Sometimes when you get excited, you just want to cheer. If you go to a game and you're watching your favorite team, maybe Caleb's team is playing soccer and you really want him to win, you're going to yell loud. You're going to tell him, go, Caleb! Yay! On Palm Sunday, there's a special word that we yell. It's Hosanna. Can you say Hosanna?
Hosanna!
Hosanna! In just a minute, I'm going to have you yell Hosanna as loud as you possibly can. So get ready, get your voice ready, think about it. If you need to stand up so you can yell better, we're going to yell it, and then we're going to have the grown-ups yell it. there's more of them, but it might be possible for us to be louder. Woo-hoo. What do you think? So I want you to wave your branches, and I'm going to count to three, and then we're going to yell, Hosanna. Are you ready? That was good. Okay, grown-ups, now it's your turn. Wave your branches. One, two,
three.
They were pretty loud, too. I'm not sure who was loudest. We might have to try it again, maybe all together. Now, this time, when we shout Hosanna, I want you to think about something that makes you really, really happy. Maybe it's your most favorite person in the whole world. Maybe it's somebody you really love, but you don't get to see often. Maybe it's something really special, something that makes you really happy. So we're going to shout Hosanna again, but I want you to think about something happy. One, two, three.
Hosanna!
Praise the Lord, Hosanna. When we shout Hosanna, we are saying praise God. Thank you for sending Jesus. We're going to put our palm branches in the vases up here where the water is. And after worship today, if you all want to take a palm branch home, you can come back and get one. So we'll put them in the vases, and then we'll have a prayer together. Come on, Reese. And you all can go to Sunday school as soon as we pray together. Hold on, we're going to pray. We'll hold hands. Here's Reese. Reese doesn't want to hold hands. That's okay. You want to be up here? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your victory, for coming to Jerusalem and hearing people shout Hosanna. We thank you, Jesus, for coming today to hear us shout with great joy, Hosanna. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen. Now you all can follow Mrs. Grooms, and she's going to take you to Sunday school today. It's a joyous thing in worship to hear children shout, yay! That's kind of the spontaneous form of Hosanna. Praise God, yay. On the back of your bulletins, there's a list of prayer concerns. As we share these, I encourage you to reach into the pew rack in front of you, find a prayer card, and write a note to someone who needs to know we're praying for them in worship today. Our card shower this morning is for Carol Sage. She will have knee replacement on both knees this coming Thursday. Prayers that her surgery goes well as for recovery afterwards. An addition to our prayer list this morning is Amber French, our choral director. She woke up about 4 a.m. this morning. She was violently ill. This morning, Becky has taken her to InstaCare to see a doctor. So our choir, as you've noticed, is not sitting up front. They are in the congregation this morning, and we will not have an anthem today. Please pray for Amber. We're not sure what this difficulty is. It is the first time that she has been scheduled to lead the choir in worship and is not able to come due to illness. Jean Johnson, one of our longtime members of the church, and her family ask for prayers of sympathy and comfort at the death of Jean's 4-year-old great-grandson, Howdy. Howdy Holman was born with a birth defect and has never fully developed. He was a blessing and a joy for his family for the last 4 years. They will all be traveling together to Nevada to celebrate his life next weekend. We give a word of thanks and appreciation to those who helped with cleanup on the grounds the last 2 days. Cal came on Friday to start the process of picking up some trash and leaves. Our cleanup crew yesterday included Becky and Larry, Amber, Kim, and Dewey. Thanks to all of those who came and helped. Without their help, next Saturday's Easter egg hunt would have meant the kids picked up eggs and trash. Now they're only picking up eggs, and that's a good thing, so thank you all. Another addition to our list, prayers of sympathy for Tyler Elser. He has just received word that his grandmother in Pennsylvania has passed away. Prayers of safe travel for Tyler as he goes to be with his family. Anonymous prayers for a niece and granddaughter of members of the congregation who is struggling right now in life. Prayers for Lonnie and her family. Her daughter Kim Ash and family will be traveling from the Dakotas next weekend to be here for Easter. And then the next day goes home and will have shoulder surgery. So continued prayers for Kim. At chapel this morning, prayer requests were lifted for a neighbor in Glen Rock who was 93 years old. When he came home from the hospital, he felt that there was no option for him, no place he could get care, and he took his own life. So prayers for this man and for his neighbors. Prayers were also requested for a woman who was locked in a trunk and left there. Her daughter is now caring for her. Prayers for both of those families and those situations. Madison Rouse had her gallbladder out this week. Prayers of healing for her. And Randy Sue Davis's daughter, Allie Dugan, also had surgery this week. Prayers for all of them. Monica Little is a missionary who serves in East Timor. She works with young women who have been victims of sexual violence and abuse. There is a strong cultural component, even today, that does not value women as full human beings. Monica and other disciple missionaries work closely with agencies to try to bring a cultural shift in East Timor. Our regional prayer partners are the members of First Christian Church in Cheyenne. There's a sheet at the back of the sanctuary you're encouraged to sign to send greetings to all of the disciples in Cheyenne, including their pastor, Bob Bright, who was a member of Paul Halleck's youth group just a few years back. Are there other concerns today or joys that we want to share this morning? Paul. Prayers for Paul's neighbor, Connie Smith, who is in hospice. Paul.
I want prayers for my mother who became a widow this year, February 13th.
Prayers for Paul Smith's mom, who lives in Arizona, who is adjusting to life without her husband this year. Mike. Prayers for Kendall as her nose heals after a soccer injury.
Prayer for our neighbor's granddaughter. Her name is Sage. She was diagnosed with cancer at the age of 17, and it has been found in her bladder, her pelvis, in her chest, and in her neck.
Prayers for Sage, who is 17 years old and living with cancer. Prayers for Teresa as she faces surgery on her back and her neck. Debbie. Prayers for a mother and son who are struggling financially. Billy. Prayers for all of the veterans and the military. Let us bring all these concerns to the Lord in a time of shared silence as we pray together. Lord Jesus, on this Palm Sunday, we remember with joy your triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and we rejoice now with your entry into our lives. We fling open the portals of our hearts to bid you welcome, to sing and shout and whisper Hosanna. Blessed are you, Lord Christ, for you come in the name of the Lord. O good and gracious God, we lift to you prayers for all those that we have named today. We pray for healing, for Carol and Kim and Teresa as they face surgeries. We pray for Kendall, for Sage as she lives with cancer, for Allie and Madison as they recover from surgeries. Lord, we pray for healing for those who grieve, for Gene Johnson and all of Little Howdy's family, for Tyler and all of the Elsers, for Paul Smith's mother. Lord, we ask your blessing to be with those who are journeying towards you in heaven. We pray especially this day for Connie Smith in hospice and her husband Chuck. Lord, we ask you to be with Amber this morning and lay your healing hand upon her. We pray for those who serve in so many ways. Lord, we thank you for those who gave time over the past 2 days for cleanup here at church. We pray for Monica Little and the work she does in East Timor, for Bob as he pastors First Christian in Cheyenne. And Lord, we pray for all of our veterans and those in active duty service. God, we also pray for people that we know only by circumstance and not by name. A woman who was left in the trunk of a car and is now cared for by her daughter. An elderly gentleman in Glenrock. We pray for communities that struggle to offer services to reach out to those who are in need. We pray for a mother and her son who visited the sandwich ministry, who turned to you, Lord, because they're struggling with finances. We pray for a niece, a granddaughter who is beloved, who needs your guidance in her life. We pray for Kim and her family as they travel and others who will journey over Easter week. Oh God, we name aloud before you prayers of thanksgiving and prayers of petition. Oh God, we know that there are many, ourselves included, who need your grace and your mercy, your strength for life every day, and your hope, your presence. Oh God, this day we ask that you will be with those who need you most. In the name of the one who inspires us to shout and sing Hosanna, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Today, we celebrate the joy of Palm Sunday with our hosannas ringing out. But later, as we walk through Holy Week, comes the overwhelming sadness of the night of the Last Supper, which we recall every week when we partake of communion. What a privilege it is to come to this table, to be forgiven of our sins, to dine with Jesus. All are welcome here. We'll sing the communion hymn, Ride On, Ride On in Majesty, on page 191, verses 1, 2, and 4.
As we come to the Lord's table on Palm Sunday, we remember those events that we'll recall on Thursday night when we gather for Maundy-Thursday worship. We remember both the events of Palm Sunday morning when Jesus entered Jerusalem triumphantly, and then also later in the week when he met with his friends in the upper room. While they were at table, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and to us, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you, to forgive your sin and the sins of many. Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life and death, his resurrection and victory. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray.
Most gracious God, just as Jesus rode into the city of Jerusalem, amidst the crowd's cheers of hosannas and the wavings of palm branches, he also knew that this greeting would be short-lived, and that great struggle, perhaps even death, might lie ahead. As we gather this morning around the table we call the Lord's table, we are mindful of both that joyful moment and also of the terrible trials which he immediately lie ahead for him. As we take this cup and this bread to our lips in the act of communion with our God, may we once again deeply appreciate and give thanks for the great loving sacrifice our Lord Jesus made for each of us. For each of us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Over the next 3 Sundays, we will be receiving our Easter special day offering. This morning, we have a video that talks about disciple home missions, which is just a portion of the disciple ministry supported by this offering.
Disciples Home Mission staff and board equip disciples and others to connect to the life-changing love of God by following Jesus' call to be the church in mission. DHM partners with Disciples Women as they serve as a conduit for diverse connections, empowering each woman to voice and live out her call. We also partner with the Disciples Center for Public Witness and Disciples Justice Action Network. Disciples Men are part of the DHM ministries, as well as Refugee and Immigration Ministries and Green Chalice. We encourage families with our Family and Children's Ministry team, welcoming children to our tables of worship, study, and decision-making, and strengthening the fabric of our intergenerational life. We follow Jesus' call to be the church in mission through leadership of the General Youth Council and the Young Adult Commission. In addition, we provide scholarships to prepare those called to ministry and continuing education grants to current ministers to continue their learning. We follow Jesus' call to be the church together, committed to being a pro-reconciling anti-racist church. Included in DHM is the merger staff, who provides support in the areas of evangelism, congregational transformation, Black ministries, women's ministries, Christian education, and faith formation for the benefit of the whole church. We also are intentional in collaboration with Hispanic ministries and North American Pacific Asian disciples, our Native Americans and Haitian disciples. DHM follows Jesus' call through the countless disciples who volunteer their time, talent, and service through disciples volunteering and partnerships with Week of Compassion. Through Search and Call, we seek to help ministers and congregations find the right match. DHM follows Jesus' call through our mission centers and mission affiliates in Los Angeles and Appalachia, the South and the Southwest, the Midwest and the Northwest. Disciples Home Missions is all about connecting people to the life-changing love of God by following Jesus' call to be the church in mission.
The Messiah was expected to be a king and a leader. He no doubt would come from a famous and wealthy family. But Jesus was not at all what was expected. Jesus was a new kind of king. He came from a family of Nazareth. What good can come out of Nazareth? He didn't join us from an exalted position, but rather as a lowly servant, enduring unbelief, apathy, injustice, torture, and hatred. Even his own disciples could not stay awake with him and denied and betrayed him. Jesus the King was not an ally to the rich and famous, but stood firmly with the weak, the humble, and the discouraged. The mark of Jesus' kingdom was compassion overflowing. Compassion for the suffering, the sinner, and the outcast. The gifts we bring today are gifts of compassion for all those they will bless through the whole mission of the church. The gifts we bring to Disciples Mission Fund will continue to overflow with compassion on all God's children, like the women and children of India met by the Disciples Women Woman to Woman journey who are caught in trafficking or have been trafficked or are under the threat of being enslaved and trafficked. This compassion overflowing will work to protect these most vulnerable and assist them in finding a way to escape the tragedies of a life of poverty and the threat of violence. As the sounds of Hosanna rang out, the faithful spread their garments and branches at the feet of our Lord to make way for his entry. May we lay our treasures at the feet of our Lord so that overflowing compassion may quench those who are thirsting for the love of God and release them from their captivity. The diaconate will now wait upon you. Loving, amazing God, we give you thanks for all these gifts and all who have given them, that your compassion may continue to overflow upon your children in our neighborhoods and around the world. Bless each gift and each giver, that your children may receive care, concern, love, tenderness, mercy and kindness. Amen.
Today's scripture reading is Psalm 118, 1 and 2, and verses 19 through 29. And it's on page 565 in your pew Bible. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, the righteous shall enter through it. Thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, and I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever.
Our second reading today comes from the New Testament, the Gospel according to John. Chapter 12 is found in your pew Bible on page 106. I'll begin reading at verse 12. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. As it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. So the crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify. It was also because they heard that he had performed this sign that the crowd went to meet him. The Pharisees then said to one another, "You see, you can do nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." O Lord, we long to prepare a way for you, a way in our hearts that you may enter in anew. Bless now, O Holy Lord, this time of reflection upon your word. Bless the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts, that they may be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Psalm 118 is one of the traditional readings for Palm Sunday. It speaks of the gates of the Lord. Open to me the gates of righteousness that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. The city of Jerusalem, even today, is a walled city. The historic center has a massive stone wall reaching all the way around it. And in that wall are large gates, large openings, through which traffic comes in and out. Those gates in Jesus' day were open and closed for different occasions. On the east side of Jerusalem, the city gate faces the Kidron Valley. The old city of Jerusalem is perched up on a hill. Headed east from there, sloping downhill, is the Kidron Valley, and sloping up on the other side is the Mount of Olives. On that first Palm Sunday, Jesus was on the Mount of Olives. He sent his disciples to find a donkey, specifically the foal of a donkey. Mark's telling of this story elaborates in detail how his followers would find that beast of burden. And then Jesus rode that donkey down from the Mount of Olives across the Kidron Valley and up to the city of Jerusalem to enter that gate. On this Palm Sunday, all these generations later, we remember the words of the psalmist, "This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it." We also remember in verse 25, "Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success." The word of the day for Palm Sunday is Hosanna. We are told in every one of the Gospels that the people shouted Hosanna. In John's account and in Matthew's account, the people quote Zechariah 9:9. "Rejoice, O daughter Zion, your king comes riding on a donkey." Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. When we hear that word Hosanna, we think of it as a shout of joy, a shout of praise, perhaps even a synonym for hallelujah, praise ye the Lord. This morning in worship, our children were excited about Sunday school and said, yay, a form of Hosanna, hooray, a cheer going up. At its root in Hebrew, the word Hosanna has another meaning as well. The word comes from, in Hebrew, hoshi or hosha, which means save, rescue. Anna, beseech or beg, plead. Hoshi, Anna, save us, we beg you. Psalm 118:25 says, Hosanna, save us, we beseech you. The people of ancient Jerusalem who followed Jesus and went out to meet him were hoping for a Messiah, someone who would save them. Some of them, no doubt, had specific expectations of what a Savior would look like. For them, in that moment of history, the expectation was a Messiah to come and throw off the oppressive rule of the Roman Empire. But as we know, Jesus was a different kind of Savior. He came not charging on a white steed as an army general might, but riding a beast of burden, carrying on his shoulders the weight of the world. All four of the Gospels tell us the story of that first Palm Sunday, each one in a slightly different way. The Revised Common Lectionary is a set of readings that goes through a three-year cycle. And churches that follow it, no matter their specific denominational ties, hear the same text on each given Sunday. The lectionary follows that three-year cycle marked by the letters A, B, and C. I have to admit, I always kind of got confused about how to keep track of, is it year A, is it year B, is it year C? The liturgical year begins with the start of the church year at Advent, when we're ready to celebrate the birth of Christ. So last December, we moved from year A into year B of the liturgical cycle. It's fascinating to me that no matter how many times we read Scripture, there is, on occasion, something new that we've missed before. Well, I learned something new this week about the lectionary. I don't know how I never put it together when I was in seminary. I never figured it out over 20 plus years of ministry. That cycle of A, B, and C, I always had a hard time keeping track what year we're in. If you had asked me a week ago, what year of the lectionary is it, I'd say, I'm not sure, I know we're studying Mark. Well, my friends, it's pretty simple. Year A, you hear from Matthew. Year B, you hear from Mark. Year C, you hear from Luke. This week, I honestly had one of those, oh, now I get it moments. How did I never figure that out before? There are times, not just with the lectionary, but with scripture, that we hear a passage we may have read for 20 years, and finally, we get it. We understand it in a new way. So I invite you this morning to hear again the familiar story of Palm Sunday, and perhaps something new will speak to you. When Matthew tells the story of Palm Sunday in Matthew 21, 1 through 11, as does John in chapter 12 that we've heard this morning, there's a reference to that verse from Zechariah 9, "Rejoice, O daughter Zion, your king comes riding on a donkey." When Mark tells the story in chapter 11, there's a lot of detail given to explain how Jesus found that donkey he was going to ride, that foal of a donkey that had never been ridden. In Mark's gospel, there are specific instructions given to two of his disciples to go to a specific place. They'll find a young colt. They're supposed to untie it and bring it to Jesus. And if anyone sees them and asks what they're doing, they're supposed to answer, "The master needs it." And then as the story unfolds, of course, not surprisingly, it happens just as Jesus said it would. They're untying a young colt. Someone shows up almost as if to say, "Wait a minute, are you stealing somebody's donkey?" To which they say, "The master needs it." And the story continues on. In Luke's telling of Palm Sunday, as with in John, there's accusation given by the Pharisees. John says in verse 19, "The Pharisees said to one another, 'You see, you can do nothing. Look, the world has gone after him.'" When Luke tells us the story, the Pharisees actually rebuke Jesus, telling him, "Make your disciples hush. Stop all this Hosanna shouting stuff. Make them be silent." To which Jesus replies, "I tell you, if these were silent, even the rocks themselves would shout out." This morning, our choir had prepared an anthem for us to hear entitled, "Ain't No Rock Gonna Shout For Me," inspired by Luke's telling of the Palm Sunday story. Each gospel gives us a different nuance, a different account of that same day's events. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the telling of Palm Sunday happens during the festival of Passover. People have gathered far and wide. In John's telling, the timing of the story is slightly different. Because you see, for John, Jesus himself is recognized as the Passover lamb. So the story timeline is slightly shifted to make that theological point. This morning, I invite you to imagine with details from all the gospel accounts what it would be like to experience that first Palm Sunday. What did it smell like that day? What did it sound like? What would you have seen if you were there in Jerusalem? The sky overhead, perhaps a bright blue, a warm spring day. The air around you filled perhaps with just a hint of early spring flowers and a smell that comes from dust kicked up by hundreds of pairs of feet. In the air around you, there are shouts, voices speaking in different languages, for people have come from near and far to celebrate the Passover festival in Jerusalem. You hear the sound of feet walking on stones. You hear voices shouting, and off in the distance, a faint cry you can just make out over the crowd, "Hosanna! Hosanna!" With curiosity, you head towards that east gate of the city to see what's happening. And there, coming down from the Mount of Olives, across the Kidron Valley, there's a parade of sorts, a gathering of people. Some of them have scooped up dried palm branches off the ground, and they're rustling as they wave them. Others have cut green branches from the trees overhead, and they wave them high. As they come closer, you hear the shouts growing, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." There's the laughter of children running in between people's legs in the crowd, and more than one mother saying, "Come back!" It's a busy, exciting day. Close your eyes for just a minute and imagine what you would experience there in Jerusalem. There are merchants trying to sell their wares to the crowd. And as the wind shifts, there's a hint of aroma that it smells like incense from the temple. And the wind changes again, and you can just pick out the smell. Is it roasted lamb? Someone's preparing their Passover meal very early this year. The shouts continue to grow as the procession comes closer. "Hosanna! Hosanna!" the crowd shouts. And around you, people begin to stir and talk. Others are noticing what's going on. There are so many people around you, you can't even see who's speaking, but you hear a woman's voice. "It's Jesus. I knew he'd be here," she says, and she sounds so excited. She has a distinctive accent, and you realize as she talks, she tells someone she's from the village of Sychar. She's a Samaritan. They say, "What are you doing here? It's a Jewish festival." She said, "I know I'm not a Jew. I'm a Samaritan, but I came to meet Jesus. You see, he showed up in our village. He told me everything I've ever done, and I think he might be the Messiah." Just meeting him felt like a water well was swelling up within my soul. I had been thirsty before and I didn't know it, and now it's like I have living water. Someone else responds, I know what you mean," he says to this woman you can't find in the crowd. "I live in a little village north of here. Our neighbor, her son was blind and Jesus healed him. I wanted to meet this miracle worker." Someone else in the crowd closer to you says, "Miracle worker, indeed, that's why I'm here. I'm from the village of Bethany, not far away. I'm friends with Mary and Martha. Did you know that their brother Lazarus died? And Jesus brought him back to life. I'm here to meet him. Surely he can save us. Hosanna," they shout. Hosanna. The day is filled with joy and wonder. The sights and smells and sounds of a crowd anticipating a dramatic shift in their lives, a shift from being oppressed to being set free, a shift from knowing that they live in sin to suddenly being forgiven. When we shout or sing or whisper in our hearts, "Hosanna," we are both shouting, "Praise the Lord," and also, "Save us." What do you need to be saved from? Is there a sin that weighs you down? A burden that you carry that no one else knows? Perhaps it was a blunder you made just this week, or perhaps it's a mistake you made years ago that you haven't let go of. As Jesus' friends threw their coats and branches on the ground in front of him, we're also invited to lay down our burdens, to let go of those things that overwhelm us. What do you need to be saved from? Perhaps an aspect of your own life, feeling overwhelmed and busy, not able to even catch your breath. Hosanna, save us. Perhaps you're troubled by the political confusion in the country around us right now. And that makes you want to cry out to God, "Save us. Hosanna." Yesterday, Charles and I were in Colorado. I had an appointment with my rheumatologist Friday afternoon at Fort Collins, and we'd gone down, decided to make a night of it, stayed over, had a nice dinner, went out for breakfast. Before we left town, we noticed a crowd of people gathering at Old Town Fort Collins near the CSU campus. They were carrying signs. We were curious and tried to read as people walked by. A lot of the signs were messages to the NRA, messages protesting gun violence, lifting words of support for students. As we left town, not far from that protest or that public rally, we passed another parking lot that was full of cars. And that parking lot was full because there was a gun sale going on. It seemed to us that the irony of these two events happening on the same day within miles of each other is indicative of where our country is right now, struggling with a complex issue that's of concern for all of us. None of us want our children to die in schools, and all of us are thankful to live in a country with certain freedoms. How we move forward together as debates rage about gun legislation and the Second Amendment, it will not be an easy journey, but one that we take together as shared citizens of the same country, the same community. And different individuals may have different perspectives on what the answers are. If we can't listen to one another, we'll never find an answer. Save us, we cry, from ourselves. Save us from our own conviction that our answer is the only answer, our way is the only right way. Help us, God, to find a way to live together, to work together for the common good. Save us, we still shout, Hosanna, praise be the Lord, who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise you, O Christ, for those who go to a gun show and for those who go to a protest rally. Praise you, Lord Christ, for all of your children who seek a way forward. Hosanna, we cry, save us. Those early Jews, those friends of Jesus, those strangers gathered in Jerusalem that first century, they had their own oppression to bear, their own burdens, their own struggles. They cried out for a savior. And many of them, no doubt, expected a rescuer to come on a white steed and vanquish their foe. God sent a different kind of savior. And so even today, we follow one who calls us to walk a different way, to walk a path that includes being open to hearing different voices, being open to conversation about challenging complex issues. Save us, we cry, even now. What is your personal plea this Palm Sunday morning as we enter Holy Week? Perhaps it has nothing to do with politics. Perhaps it's much more personal, a grief you're carrying, a loss you feel, a fear for yourself or a loved one. Save us, perhaps you cry, from the fear of death. God, I'm not ready to go, you say. Lord, let it happen in my time, not your time. What is it that you need to be saved from? What is it that you need to let go and to lay down? Each of the Gospels shares with us different stories for Palm Sunday, different details. I have to admit, I've always been a little confused by Year B's readings from the Gospel of Mark. Mark is the one who tells the story with all those details about how Jesus' friends would find the donkey, where it's going to be tied, what the conversation is going to be. I've always wondered, why is that an important part of the story? So much time and attention given to that. Perhaps it's just to make the point that Jesus knew what was going to happen. He didn't know just what would happen with finding a donkey to borrow, but what would happen the rest of the week as he headed towards the cross. Or perhaps Mark telling us that story in so much detail is to remind us that the details of our lives matter to God. The details of our choices matter to God. The details of our conversations with one another, both what we say, but also how we say it, how we listen. The details of our lives matter to God. Perhaps that's why Mark's account is so detailed. I'd like to close this morning with sharing a poem that hints at the detail of Mark's gospel. It's written for this day by the minister Scott L. Barton, and it's entitled Donkey Wrestling. How odd that Mark spends so much time on what seems so unlike sublime. It almost seems ridiculous to know such details infamous as how he got that ne'er-ridden colt. Who cares? Yet maybe his revolt against the principalities include his personality, involved in every action where his followers his name declare. The coffee hour, the usher's list, the anthem sung, the meals dished, the lesson taught in Sunday school, the need to pay the bill for fuel, the book group some came to in Lent, the youth on mission trip just sent, the prelude bulletins and prayers, the greeter there atop the stairs, the new hymn that the pastor tried, the news a faithful friend has died. Such details of our life declare, when done for him, that is where, by grace, we show that Jesus saves, by love, from cradle to the grave. Amen. The details of the story of Palm Sunday, as well as the details of our lives in 2018, declare our faith in the Lord, our willingness to follow him as our Lord and a different kind of Savior and King. Our hymn of dedication today is found on page 193 in the hymnal. It's entitled A Cheering, Chanting, Dizzy Crowd. And the text tells us both of Palm Sunday and then part of the journey of Holy Week. As we prepare to sing it together, you'll notice that there's not music indicated there. The tune for this hymn is on page 130. And so we'll let Kathy play it through once so you can recognize perhaps the tune, and then we will sing together. And as we sing this morning, I extend the invitation that we give every week to those who would give their heart to Jesus Christ or to those who are looking for a church home to join us here at First Christian Church. This morning as we stand and sing this hymn, whether you're ready to give your heart to Jesus or you want to call First Christian home, we invite you to come forward. Let us sing number 193. Thank you. all may be seated. Coming forward this morning to confess his faith in Christ is Caleb Woods. I have been blessed to get to know Caleb a little bit better over the past several weeks of Lent as we've met together for a pastor's class. Next Sunday, he will be baptized on Easter Sunday, and we are so excited to share that event with him. This morning, Caleb, I ask you the confession of faith. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and do you accept him as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, I accept him as my Lord and Savior.
Amen. I extend to you the right hand of Christian fellowship and pray for God's blessing upon that decision and that public confession of faith. Also coming forward today are Jim and Tricia Nichols to transfer their membership from Montana. We are blessed and honored to have you with us. They have been worshiping in our congregation for a long enough time, they already feel like they're part of the family. So today is just an official statement that they do want to be members here at First Christian Church, and it is a joy and a privilege to welcome both of you. I ask you to reaffirm the same statement of faith that Caleb made this morning. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and do you proclaim him as your Lord and Savior? Amen. I extend to you both the right hand of Christian fellowship, and thank you for that renewal of your confession of faith as you join our church here. If all hearts and minds are clear, I'm going to invite these folks after the benediction to be with me at the back door so you can greet them. But first, let us pray together if you would like to stand for the benediction. There is in your hymnal a welcome after new membership, and I don't have the page number in front of me because I left my bulletin over there. 341. Let's turn to page 341, and this will serve as our benediction today, as well as a welcome to these three who are joining First Christian Church in Casper. Let us pray together. Reaffirming our own faith in Jesus the Christ, we gladly welcome you into this community of faith, enfolding you with our love and committing ourselves to your care. In the power of God's Spirit, let us mutually encourage each other to trust God and strengthen one another to serve others, that Christ Church may in all things stand faithful. Amen. I invite everyone to come downstairs for a time of coffee and fellowship and to greet Caleb and the Nichols on your way out of the sanctuary today.